Senate Bill number 445 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Judiciary Committee considered committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 366 Judiciary, Treatment and Rehabilitation of a Defendant Convicted of an Offense Effective Date. The majority committee recommends to pass. Report was signed by Senator Fake's chair, concurring Senators Helfrich, Pearson, Zemanski, previous House era fiscal notes. Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 366 Judiciary has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Resources Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill number 387 Resources amended, Controlled Livestock District, recommends it be replaced with Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 387 Resources and reports it back as follows. Senator Ferencamp, Chair, and Senator Strzelecki signed due pass. Senators Helfrich and Eliason signed no recommendation. Zero fiscal note. Committee substitute for House Bill number 387 Resources amended has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Judiciary Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill number 411 Judiciary, corrective amendments to the Alaska statutes as recommended by the revisor of statutes and providing for an effective date. The majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 411 Judiciary and due pass. Report was signed by Senator Fake's chair, concurring Senators Pearson and Zemanski. Senator Helfrich signed no recommendation. Zero fiscal note attached. Committee substitute for House Bill number 411 Judiciary has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered community substitute for House Bill number 478, Community and Regional Affairs, Solid and Hazardous Waste Management. Majority of the committee recommends to pass. Report was signed by Senator Zemanski, Chair, concurring Senators Frank, Cottrell, and Pierce. Senator Adams signed no recommendation. Previous House zero fiscal note. Committee substitute for House Bill number 478 has further referral to Finance Committee. Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill number 480, Community and Regional Affairs, authorizing loans for solid waste management projects from the Clean Water Fund, and recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Zemanski, Chair, concurring Senators Frank, Pershaw, Adams, and Pierce. Previous House zero fiscal note attached. Committee substitute for House Bill number 480, Community and Regional Affairs, has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
And those are all the standing committee reports this afternoon, Mr. Chairman.
That brings us back to the... Is that all the standing committee reports? That brings us back to the daily calendar. Madam Secretary.
Senate Bill number 308 by Senator Pierce, an act relating to taxation of certain state property by municipalities and providing for an effective date. Community and Regional Affairs Committee considers the bill and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute and due pass. Report was signed by Senator Zemanski, Chair, concurring Senators Pierce, Pershaw, and Frank. Senator Adams signed no recommendation. Fiscal note attached. Labor and Commerce Committee considers the bill and majority of the committee recommends the Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute be adopted and due pass. Report was signed by Senator Eliason, Chair, concurring Senators Fakes, Petula, and Roney. Finance Committee considers the bill and recommends it be replaced with the Finance Committee substitute and reports it back as follows. Senator Ewing, co-chair, and Senator Jaroff signed no recommendation. Senators Duncan, Frank, and Pierce signed due pass. Fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considers the bill and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Strzelecki, chair, concurring Senators Petula and Eliason. There are two committee substitutes.
Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask and consent that Senate Bill number 308, Finance, be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Senate Finance Committee substitute is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 308, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to taxation by municipalities of certain property of governmental entities and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rohde.
President, move that Senate consent to Senate Bill 308 is in gross, advance third reading, and final passage.
An objection, Senate Bill 308 is in third reading.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 308, Finance, an act relating to taxation by municipalities of certain property of governmental entities and provides for an effective date.
Any discussion?
Question.
Question being, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 308, Finance, pass to Senate? Members may proceed to vote. If all members voted, Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so committee substitute for Senate Bill 308, Finance, passes the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas and no nays. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move to ask unanimous consent to vote on the bill because with the vote on the effective date clause.
No objection. The effective date clause is adopted. Senator Cortula.
President, we have an intent letter from the committee on that bill.
Senator Adams? General Stanadies. Will the Senate please come back to order? Research has indicated there was no letter of intent. Is that the correct decision, Senator Curtula?
Yes, Mr. President. It's on another bill, the number before, I think, and same subject.
Senator Euling?
Thank you, Mr. President. We revert to introduction of guests.
Without objection, revert to introduction of guests.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a constituent and also with the Chamber of Commerce here, and that's Jean Cresham, and she's over in gallery number two, Ziegler Gallery.
Senator Frank.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to bring up reconsideration for CS for Senate Bill number 402.
We have in front of us committee substitute for Senate Bill number 402, an act establishing the Alaska Soviet Commission and providing for an effective date.
Question.
402. Madam Secretary, 402.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 402, ITT, an act establishing the Alaska Soviet Commission, effective date for the Senate and reconsideration.
Senator Fanks.
I found it, sir. Thank you.
Question being, Senator Halford, Senate will stand at ease. Bill 402, International Tourism and Trade, under reconsideration in third reading. Senator Porcho?
Call the House.
There is a call of the Senate. Will the Senate please come back to order? Will the Senate please come back to order? We have in front of us committee substitute for Senate Bill 402, International Trade and Tourism, under reconsideration. The call has been satisfied. Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 402 has, I think it was a $286,000 fiscal note, and it has no sunset provision. It looks like it just goes on at that rate essentially forever, and I wonder if it would be reasonable to put a sunset provision in the legislation, at least.
Senator Fisher.
Mr. Chairman, there is an amendment that's going to be passed out that does have a sunset provision for July 1, 1992.
Senator Fisher, would you like to move us back to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment?
It's not around yet, but Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for the purpose of an amendment.
Without objection, we return to second reading. Senate, we'll stand at ease while we await the copying of the document. Will the Senate please come back to order? I believe the amendment has been passed out, Senator Fisher.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, you have amendment number one. I move amendment number one and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection.
Mr. Chairman, I think there's a real concern that we're creating, and we are, if we pass this, a brand new commission, which would go on forever, quite frankly, at a very, very high cost, especially when we're talking about spending caps. We're talking about trying to keep the budget somewhat, at least under the statutory limit. And this, we're talking almost $300,000 in this item alone. And I feel that by putting an amendment there, if it should pass, at least we know that in 1992 we have to review it again if it should pass today.
Further discussion, Senator Fakes.
Support this amendment, though I'm going to vote against the bill, but we have never sunsetted a commission in 8 years that I've been around. Never. We tried. We've always failed.
Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to oppose the amendment. If we do want to not support this commission, all we need to do is delete the funding in the budget, and it goes away. If they don't have any funding, they don't operate. So there's a mechanism in place to get rid of the commission anytime we desire.
Senator Fakes.
I can't let that one go. Mr. President, we cannot cut $1 from that budget, not $1, much less $286,000.
Further discussion? Senator Curtula?
I oppose the amendment. I think it's an error. One. Two, as far as the previous speaker goes, she hasn't helped us earn a dollar either.
Senator Yuling.
Thank you, Mr. President. I am not going to support the amendment. I think it's going to need some time to get this thing off the ground. I would reasonably, a different date would probably be better, but this is just too soon. It looks like as soon as we can get it off the ground, it's going to have to be sunsetted.
Further discussion? The question being, shall amendment number one be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, so amendment number one fails by a vote of 7 yeas and 13 nays. We are in third reading.
Question.
Under reconsideration for committee substitute for Senate Bill 402, IT&T. The question being, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 402, International Trade and Tourism, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so committee substitute for Senate Bill 402, International Trade and Tourism, passes by a vote of 11 yeas and 9 nays. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move the effective date clause.
The question being, shall the effective date clause pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so the effective date clause on Senate Bill 402 passed to the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas and 1 nay. Madam Secretary.
Senate Bill number 422, by the Rules Committee by request, an act relating to guide outfitter use area permits, the Big Game Commercial Services Board, and guide outfitters, transporters, and providers of other Big Game Commercial Services. Resources Committee considers the bill, recommends it be replaced with the Resources Committee substitute, reports it back as follows. Senator Perrin, Camp Chair, and Senators Frank and Sturzewski signed, do pass. Senator Helfrich signed, do not pass unless non-severable. Senator Lass signed a recommendation, fiscal or attached. Finance Committee considers the bill and recommends it be replaced with the Finance Committee substitute. Majority Committee reports it back with that recommendation. Report was signed by Senator Binkley, concurring Senators Ewing, Duncan, and Fisher, Senator Frank, and Pierce signed, do pass. Two fiscal notes. Rules Committee considers the bill and recommends it be replaced with the Rules Committee substitute, new title, calendar, and do pass. Report was signed by Senator Sturzewski, Chair, concurring Senators Rohde and Katula. Two fiscal notes attached. There are three committee substitutes.
Senator Sturzewski.
Yes, I would move the committee substitute for Senate Bill number 422, Rules, and prior to asking for unanimous consent. I received Senator Ewing, co-chair of Senate Finance Committee, received a memorandum from George Buttermill, Legislative Counsel, regarding an amendment made in finance. You'll find it on page 22, lines beginning 2 through 16. And it was a question of intent. We made a technical change in the Rules Committee, and that's the difference. And if you want, I either have a memo or could read it, but it, as I say, it is a technical change. We did run it by a number of people, including the Senate Finance Committee.
Is there objection?
Ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Senator Fakes.
I'm not going to object to the Rules Committee substitute, but I am going to offer amendment number one to further correct that section and just add a cutoff date to it. So with that, sir, I remove my objection to the adoption of the Rules Committee substitute.
Without objection, the Rules Committee substitute is adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 422, Rules, by the Rules Committee, an act relating to guide outfitter use area permits, the Big Game Commercial Services Board, guide outfitters, transporters and air carriers, and providers of other Big Game commercial services and commercial use permits, and providing for an effective date. Amendment number one by Senator Fakes, page 2, line 22, and this has been distributed.
Senator Fakes.
I would move amendment
number
one.
Yeah. There is objection.
What happens in this bill, sir, is that we say that they've made advertisements, and you have some of them in your packet that I distributed. And right now, there's no cutoff language for when those advertisements have to stop being used. They tell you that you can use your advertising material, your promotional material, if they've been produced prior to April 1st, 1990. And this was done as a transitional period, so they wouldn't have to redo anything. But there was no ever cutoff date put in the bill. So right now, those promotional materials, as long as they were produced prior to April 1st, 1990, can be used forever. There's never a time to cut those off. I see that as a major loophole. There's no way to ever prove, really going to try to get affidavits from printers or whatever. It's very, very difficult. And Fish and Wildlife has asked that there be a cutoff date for the use of that promotional material. that the transition period start from April 1st and go to January 1, 1991. That's the end of the hunting season. So when the new hunting season begins, the promotional material will also then be new.
Is the objection maintained?
Yes.
It is maintained. Senator Halpert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to abstain from voting on this legislation, as I do hold a registered guide's license as well as a currently inactive air taxi license.
There is objection. Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to oppose the amendment. We've worked on this issue up in Senate Finance. This was one that was offered a suggestion, actually, by the department to put this language in there. They felt that as long as we went back and said that, put a retroactive date in there, April 1st, 1990, no guides or outfitters or air taxi operators could go out, air carriers, and print brochures that would allow them to be excluded from that. And that's why we put the production back to April 1st, 1990. The problem with putting in, and I understand the maker of the amendment's concern here and the issue that she's raising. However, if you put it to January 1, 1991, in many cases, what happens is those brochures have already been printed. They've already been distributed all around the United States and even to other countries around Alaska. They get put in brochure racks. They get distributed in hotel rooms all across the place. And
Will the Senate please come back to order? The call has been satisfied. Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, just for clarification, that call was on the bill, not just on this amendment.
Well, Senator Duncan, we can't do that. We have to make it.
Well, then, just to give notice, I'm going to call every time, because if I'm going to listen to this kind of debate, everybody else is, too.
Understood, Senator Duncan, but the call is satisfied. Senator Curtula.
Well, I just want to say, the call or not, I'm going to be gone in a few minutes downstairs. You can send troopers after me if you want. I've got my own personal problems.
We try to avoid that type of action on this side of,
you're welcome to do so.
Of the second floor, Senator. Is there further discussion on the amendment? Question being, shall amendment number one be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted? Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary record the vote. So amendment number one fails by a vote of 9 yeas and 11 nays.
Amendment number two by Senator Bates, page 16, lines 4 through 9, and this amendment has been distributed.
Is there objection to the adoption of amendment number two? There is objection. Senator Fakes.
Thank you, sir. Again, I guess you folks, what's happened in the last 20 years is that every time Fish and Wildlife or the Department of Law or the Department of Fish and Game have come to you and said there's a problem with big game, you've addressed, the legislature has addressed the problem. And I guess maybe today you aren't going to do that. And that's too bad, because you've got the animals of the state that are being killed. Got the animals of the state that are dying, and our people are making money off of those dead animals. They are making major commercial investments and money off of those dead animals, and they're totally unregulated in this state. And I think some of these people have sold you a bill of goods, and I'm disappointed in that. The sergeant says that the Alaska legislature has been generally receptive, supportive, and helpful in combating illegal and unethical hunting. Ladies and gentlemen, you have illegal and unethical hunting going on by the air taxi operators in this state today. He came to you, or several years in the 70s and 80s, they came to you on same-day airborne, wanton waste, and closed-season violations. The legislature passed the laws to correct that. With some industry support, they also passed a law to attack, like I said, the waste laws, and a series of kinds of things. Problem number two was the so-called outfitter problem. They came to you and said there was a loophole in the law that outfitters were not covered in the bill, and that was Senate Bill 112 that was worked on 2 years ago. And you closed the loophole of the outfitters. Now, ladies and gentlemen, they're coming to you and saying there is an incredible loophole on the bottom, incredible, unenforceable loophole on air taxi operators. And it looks like you're not going to close that loophole, and I'm disappointed. The current problem with the last and completely unregulated group, the commercial game harvesters, is the air taxi and air carriers. And the sergeant says that he knows they consider themselves simply providers of transportation. But, Mr. President, you can't be simply a provider of transportation when you send brochures all over the world, not with happy, clean-cut pilots clean airplanes on it, but dead animals. That's not being an air transporter. That's being in the business of murdering Alaskan animals. They're doing it for profit. They're making money on this. We know they are transporting 23,300 animals a year, unregulated, with no fee or no license charge coming back to the state of Alaska. Is that what we want? The court case, the reason this bill is even before you, is the Supreme Court in Osacek said that you had to have financial compensation to the state for the commercial harvest of Alaska's big game resources. That was a direction from Osacek, and it was a direction written in the letter of intent passed by both houses of this body when they formed the task force. You said that if there was commercial gain, commercial harvest, and commercial gain, that it had to be regulated. The Supreme Court said it had to be regulated. And yet you're letting 23,300 animals dead, where somebody's making money off of them, go unregulated, unwatched, unguarded. I think that's deplorable. what we got is we have no criminal laws governing the behavior of air taxis with regard to the treatment of clients or their actions regarding the game laws. There's nothing on the books. And this law weakens what few things are on the books. If you don't pass this amendment, you are weakening the current law. He talks about some of the problems that they've had. They had a task force. They've had so many complaints from the Board of Game, from rural Alaskans over the years, that last year for the hunting season of 1989, they put a task force out in the field to check on what was going on with air taxi operators. First of all, you have the failure to provide the meat pickups. They agree to put you out there in a camp after they've flown around and seen the game. They put you out there in a camp and they agree to pick you up in 7 days. They don't pick you up in 7. You've gone out, you've killed your animal, you've drugged the animal back to the lake. You don't pick up your animal. They don't come. 10 days go by, 12 days go by, the meat begins to rot, 14 days go by, they finally show up. Now they say it was weather. But Fish and Game, Fish and Wildlife, has observed the same pilot in the same airplane continually flying during that period of time, continually dropping off more hunters in similar areas. Now who's at fault there? We have a law on the books that says the hunter is criminally liable for that meat not being picked up and spoiling. It's the hunter's fault that his pilot, his transporter, didn't come get him? Who's liable there? They had case after case after case of spoiled.
Question?
Will Senate please come back to order? Senator Fakes?
Yes, sir. The section that Senator Halper is referring to that was put in by the Resources Committee is for guide outfitters only. Air carriers are not included in that section. What you've got is four different groups of folks here, and you have one at all being having to pay the commercial use permit if they make money on the common resource. Okay? One of those groups wants to be a
There is a call in the Senate. Senator, please stand at ease. Come back to order. We are on debate on amendment number two. Senator Fakes.
Yes, sir. There was a question asked that was the schedule for, who was the schedule for? It was just for the guide outfitters, not for the air carriers. Sir, adopting amendment number two just takes us back to the existing law. That's it. No more, no less. It just takes us back to the status quo. If you don't adopt amendment number two, you are weakening the status quo. You're putting a major loophole in this bill that was a compromise. You are undoing, which was the pieces of the puzzle that went together on the task force. And I guess I just ask everybody in here, are they voting their conscience on this bill? Are they doing on this amendment? Are they doing what's best for the big game animals of the state of Alaska and for the industry and for the tourist industry and the clients who come into the state?
Further discussion. Senator Ferencamp.
Thank you, Mr. President. Having chaired resources when this bill came through resources, I've got to tell this body that at the time I thought we had agreement concerning a very knotty problem, as all of you know, has been worked on since for over 2 years. And with the legislation that we have before us, it seems to me that, again, we are in a position where there is a large area of disagreement concerning this legislation. In the hopes that, again, we can reach through a conference committee some type of resolution, I do not believe that defeat of this amendment would completely do away with any improvements, even though some of the agencies seem to think so, in that we have reporting requirements that will still give a little bit more control than what we have today. But with that in mind, it's my intention to vote against this amendment at this time and hope that agreements can be reached with the conference committee in this late hour after 2 years of striving for that goal.
Further discussion. Question being, shall amendment number two pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary record the vote. So amendment number two fails by a vote of 4 yeas and 16 nays.
Amendment number three by Senator Duncan, page 1, line 10 after, and this amendment has been distributed.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll speak very briefly on the amendment. It's exactly like action we took on this floor about 3 or 4 weeks ago when we passed Senate Bill 381. The bill and the amendment would remove the requirement that non-resident hunters have a guide for the purpose of hunting mountain goat. We all know the debate and discussion that went on at that time. I remind you, the vote was 14-3 in favor of the legislation. I think it's important to add that provision to this legislation to give a clear signal that this body has gone on record in favor of that change. I might also add that people last year were surprised, and I've had a petition given to me from hunters all over this state who were surprised with the change that was made last year to require guides for non-resident hunters of mountain goat. Also, I might add that this change will generate additional revenue to the state of Alaska and will generate some economic benefit to the state. I would urge the adoption of the amendment.
Senator Rohde?
I would rise in opposition to the amendment. The only people that this will benefit are those from outside the state of Alaska. The amendment is more fitting for a senator from another state. It does nothing but deprive Alaskans of
of game, and more importantly, or as importantly, it also weakens our entire guide law in terms of its enforceability in court. I would urge the amendment to be repealed.
Senator Lyason?
President, I'm just, this amendment should be supported by some other state senator. I'm not quite sure about that because I was in Resources Committee where there's numerous people testifying, local people, residents here in Juneau testifying in favor of this. This was put in at the objections of some of us in Resources last year, based upon some type of a opinion rendered by some attorney general saying it make it easier to fight this case in court if you do this. Well, that's not a good enough reason to exclude that, so I would support the amendment.
Further discussion? Question being, shall amendment number 3 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? The secretary will record the vote, and so amendment number 3 passes by a vote of 12 yeas and 8 nays. Are there any further amendments? Senator Rohde? Without objection, Senate Bill 422 is in third reading.
Committee substitute the Senate Bill number 422 rules in accolading the guide outfitters use area permits, the big game commercial services board, guide outfitters, transporters, and air carriers, and providers of other big game commercial services and commercial use permits relating to hunting for mountain goats by non-residents and providing for an effective date.
Senator Fakes.
I will be voting now against this bill, sir. It doesn't do what the mandate of the legislature was in the letters of intent. I believe it violates the Constitution, and I will be opposing this bill.
Senator Coghill.
President, I rise in opposition to the bill also. We spent the last 4 years that I've been in the legislature, the 5 years, the first two, I was on the Resources Committee, and we raffled with the guide outfitters proposition. When I was chairman of the Resources Committee for 2 years, why we raffle with it to the point where there was no solution other than to put a task force together. Task force came in, and under their statutes that of last year, why they established a regulatory structure for the guides and outfitters, the court overturned the closed-in guide areas, and I think that they rightfully did so under the Constitution. We're under Senate Bill 422, we're in a position where that we're trying to manage the people that hunt the big game rather than managing the big game according to the Constitution. The Constitution says that we will keep our fish and game in the common use for the people of Alaska. It says that under Section 4 of Article 8 that the fish, forest, wildlife, grasslands, and all other replenishable resources belonging to the state shall be utilized, developed, and maintained on a sustained yield basis. And what we're doing in this bill here is that we're trying to establish another structure where that we give special use to special people that are going into the field to promote the hunting of big game for a profit. And I have no problem with that. But I think that what we ought to have, Mr. President, is a form of permitting where that the fish and game establishes a permitting system where a hunter that wants to come up can buy a permit for a brown bear, let's call it a bear hunt, and then be able to market who that guide person is that he's going to use to facilitate his hunt rather than to try and set a structure as strict as this is. And I think that the use area permits is really an unconstitutional provision. I think that we could pass this. It's going to be challenged in court, and I think they're just wasting our time passing this type of legislation.
Senator Fernkamp.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm rather surprised by the ideas of the former speaker in that as he chaired Resources for 2 years, that he didn't carry out what he thought he ought to be doing, rather than assigning it to a task force that first went The council and through the council, and it was chaired by another legislator and then by our senator from Hillside. There's been an awful lot of hard work, hearings, efforts by both legal, hunters, guides, federal, state people to try to come up with an answer that will work in this area. The bill's not perfect. In fact, it's one of those that very few people like. It's in a position now, as amended or unamended, that needs to be worked on again through conference committee. And I would hate to see us come to this stage of the game and throw up our hands and say, well, I didn't get my way, so I'm just going to quit working on it. That's not been the attitude of most of the people who have tried very hard to try to solve a problem mandated to us by the courts. I would urge you to pass this piece of legislation. Let's try to get this piece of legislation and this issue under control for the management of the good of the resource. That's what has been attempted to be done here by the task force and by the commission that's been set up. So I would urge your support and hope that we can solve a few problems that we have left before the end of this session.
Senator Halpert.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's one key provision in this legislation that concerns me from the side of the industry, the air taxis, everyone else in the public, and that is that the act is specifically provided in Section 23 to be totally severable. It represents a compromise of criteria and conditions that was marginally supported by those involved. But if the key provisions are found to be unconstitutional or ruled to be unenforceable by the Attorney General's office, I believe those same interests probably wouldn't support the legislation. And yet we're setting up a situation where the entire regulatory structure will be determined by essentially the constitutional opinions of an assistant AG.
Further discussion?
Question.
The question being, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 422 rules amended pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. If all members voted, Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so committee substitute for Senate Bill 422 rules amended passes the Senate by a vote of 15 yeas and 5 nays. Senator Rohde.
The vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, effective date clause is adopted. Reconsideration motion. Madam Secretary.
Senate Bill number 472 by Senator Coghill, an act authorizing moose farming. The Resources Committee considered the bill, and the majority of the committee recommended to pass. The report was signed by Senator Fahrenkamp, Chair, concurring. Senators Frank, Jaroff, Mr. Jaluski, Zero Fiscal, No. The Finance Committee considered the bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Ewing, co-chair, and Senator Duncan signed no recommendation. Senators Frank, Jaroff, and Pierce signed to pass, Zero Fiscal, No.
Madam Secretary, Senator Rohde, would you move that Senate Bill 472 and HDR 92 be held to tomorrow's calendar, please?
Mr. President, I would move that unanimous consent for Senate Bill 472 and HJR 92 be held to tomorrow's calendar.
That brings us down to unfinished business. Citation.
Point of order. Was that a reconsideration motion from the majority leader?
No.
Citation. Honoring the Matt News Cassitna participants and winners of the Student Leadership Project by Senators Kurtulis, Amansky, Sturzewski, Fakes, Ewing, Cockle, Binkley, Halford, and Pierce.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Beef at ease.
Federal sanities.
I've read the citation.
Over, and due to the lateness of the session, I would move and ask unanimous consent that
the State Affairs Committee be allowed to waive 5-day publication notice on HB 563, an act relating to information regarding the value of affirmative fund dividends, and also HB 580, an act establishing the Alaska State Investment Corporation. Both those bills would be heard in Senate State Affairs this Friday, April 27th.
Senator, please stand at ease. Motion on the floor to waive the publication notice. Without objection, publication notice on those two bills are waived. Senator Yuling?
Thank you, Mr. President. We've waived the 5-day notice, I think we did already before, on Senate Joint Resolution 63 in regard to a 90-day session.
Without objection, the publication notice is waived. Further unfinished business? Announcements. Senator Sturgiolowski?
Yes. Mr. President, we'll need a Rules Committee immediately following adjournment in the Bells Room, and it is necessary for the calendar, so I would hope we could meet right after the meeting. Be hearing SB 212 relating to insurer solvency, SB 213 commercial development leasing of state land, SB 259 insurance guarantee funds, SB 326 grants for mental health planning, SB 359, Municipal Assistance Oil Response Fund, SB 394, Blind Disabled Vendors Group Insurance, Health Insurance, SB 452, repealing limitations on the older Alaskan Commission relating to the Longevity Bonus Program, the Alaska Pioneers Home, SB 508, Workers' Compensation, SB 518, Income Eligibility for Certain Housing Weatherization Programs, SB 531, Labeling and Identification Requirements for Food Products Containing Farmed Finfish, have trouble saying that word, HB 54, Expanding the Authority of the Older Alaskans Commission, HB 358, Minimum Thermal and Lighting Energy Standards, and HB 352, Plastic Container Bottle Coating Required.
Further announcements? Senator Pierce?
Mr. President, I'm not sure whether we've used the Bell's Room or the Buttridge Room because I didn't realize the Fuels was going to meet, but Oil and Gas will meet immediately upon adjournment to consider the Senate Joint Resolution 59 prohibiting discharge of ballast water.
Senator Yuling?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask the members under announcement to start prioritizing their projects for the capital budget because we are going to be working on that this weekend, specifically have a bill up in the Finance Committee either on Thursday or Friday.
Senator Porcheau?
Thank you, Mr. President. Earlier today I announced a Ethics Committee meeting at 5:30. We will move that to 6:30. The other body is still in session. We're going to shoot for 6:30 in the Buttridge Room. If the chairperson of the Oil and Gas Committee had a real short meeting, the Buttridge Room would be available for at least a half hour.
Senator Coghill? Further announcements? Special orders? Senator Rohde? Senator Halford?
I serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on committee substitute for Senate Bill 422.
Reconsideration is noted. Senator Rohde?
Senate stand adjourned until 11 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Without objection, Senate stands adjourned.